Our second scripture reading today is from Galatians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there with me. Don't worry, it's not too long, but Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we have preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth, and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia, and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, men who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. So, we're doing a little shift now. Over the past several weeks, we've had an interesting journey of, I guess, rediscovering who God is, who we are in Him, and how we relate to Him in that, how we are to live out the mission of God as it pertains to the church and individually. Now, I'd like to go through the book of Galatians. Now, Galatians is a very interesting book, and don't give a good intro for me to this study, and talk about how the Judaizers were making some trouble in these churches. Now, Galatians is one of the earlier books that was written by Paul, and this is actually really important to know for the reason that this book does not preach the gospel per se. It's not trying to persuade Jews or Gentiles to come to Christ. Rather, Paul is writing to these churches who have already accepted Jesus Christ and have been following Christ. Now, this was written, there's some debate on dates, as always, but roughly 20 years after Christ's ministry on earth. That's very early in the time of writing scripture. So somewhere in the 50s AD, Paul's writing this letter. And why is that important? And it's going to wrap into what I'm talking about here. But there have been talk over the ages that Jesus, his story, his life, his miracles had been exaggerated beyond what they really were, and that he was just a man who taught good things, and people tried to take away the miracles out of the Bible and say, oh, the scriptures were written by the Council of Nicaea in 325, but the textual evidence dates this letter back into the 50s AD, saying that there were Christians in the area that we would call Turkey now, believing and following Christ as the resurrected Lord and Savior. So as we go through this book, you kind of have to have the mindset of what the history is going on. And Paul's missionary journey, he was going through the Asia Minor and founding these different churches. He says to the churches in Galatia. And then after he left, after he set those churches, there were teachers of the law who came in and said, okay, you're following Christ. Great. But that's not all you need to do. You need to come into how the Jewish traditions follow God and added on to what they needed to do in order to be saved. But as we know, that accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, the grace is sufficient to save us. So today's sermon is titled, How Do You Spot a Counterfeit? And as we go through the book of Galatians, Paul is going to be dealing with these different issues and how the people of the churches in Galatia were starting to get confused and turn away from the true gospel that he preached. So let's kind of go through this, because there's a lot of information here and a lot of history behind it. So I'm trying not to confuse you, but there's so much here trying to figure out how to maybe try to have a little more time. So Paul is starting out his letter, his traditional grace and peace to you. But other letters, he kind of goes into a more warm and fuzzy, we've praised you, we've heard of your good things. He jumps right in at verse 6. I'm astonished that you so quickly deserted the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turned into a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. What is he saying there? Which is really no gospel at all. Now, without getting into too much detail, if you remember back into the Old Testament, you had the law and the sacrificial system, and that's how the nation of Israel stayed within the covenants that God had set out for them. Jesus Christ came in to fulfill that entire law so that they didn't have to keep going on to sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice that weren't sufficient for a full salvific relationship with God the Father. He is the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins. And if we are straying from that truth, then we are straying from that perfect sacrifice, and therefore there is no gospel outside of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's saying, I was just there, I just taught you guys, but you're already straying from the path that God has laid out for you. And what's really amazing is how Paul talks about where this gospel message came from. So I'm going to be jumping a little bit in this passage here, but he's talking about how the gospel he received was revealed to him by God himself. Why is that important? There, it tends to be a thought process going around that you can be just a good person and follow good morals, and that's sufficient. That's called a moral relativism, or a moral philosophy, where you can be convinced by a teaching of someone, follow their teaching, and that's sufficient. If you're able to be taught something and say, that makes sense, I'll follow that. What's to keep you from having someone else come in, teach you something contrary to that? Oh, that makes sense, I'll follow that. You'll be blown back and forth between different philosophies. Rather, Paul has received the truth from God the Father. He received Jesus himself on the road to Damascus, was revealed this eternal truth about Christ as our Savior. And that's not something that ever changes. It is something that is true, and it is the way of the universe. Plain and simple. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So as Paul is talking to the churches here, he's saying, why have you turned so quickly? And evidently there are people throwing you into confusion, coming in and preaching a different gospel. Now here's a little illustration, because there will be people in your life who try to teach you something that is not scriptural. They'll try to sway you away from the true Orthodox Christianity, what the Bible says. How do you spot a counterfeit? So let's think of this in terms of law enforcement and people who make counterfeit money. How do those professionals actually tell what is real and what is fake? Over the decades, there have been probably thousands of different ways that people have tried to commit fraud and counterfeit, whether it be money or checks, different things. Do they teach them all the different ways that people counterfeit money? They teach them what the true bill is. What is supposed to be there, and what is, if they know the true and actual bill, front, back, and actually inside, because there's little strips and things in there, and watermarks, they know the real bill fully, that immediately when that counterfeit bill comes in, they can say, oh, that's counterfeit, that's not. How many of you have seen, it was a movie probably 20 years ago, Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio, I think it was called Catch Me If You Can. It was about a guy who was counterfeiting checks and going all over the world, traveling, and they couldn't catch this guy, he was too smart. And in the end, they actually did catch him. And he's sitting in jail, and the main cop who went around and tracked him down for years went into the jail and said, I need your help. We got this guy counterfeiting, and he handed him a check. And in the movie, you can see the guy in jail, he takes it, doesn't even look at it, and says, that's fake. How do you know? You haven't even looked at it. It's too thick. He knew, beyond a shadow of doubt, what it should be. He knew the truth just by touching. He knew the truth so well, he didn't even have to examine the counterfeit. How does that apply to us? We need to know the Bible. We need to know what God says. What is God's revelation to us? So that when that counterfeit comes, you can say, that's not scripture. That's not what God has taught us. And then in love, you can say, let me show you. And start dialogue. When we know the truth of scripture, when we have the revelation from God, when the counterfeits come in, we can easily say, that's not what God said. That is not of God. Let me show you God in the scripture. Because the amazing thing happens as we study scripture, as we study it, as we meditate on it, and as we simply read and are in the presence of God. The more we read, the more we learn, the more we are refined in our soul by the Holy Spirit. That's why we can go back to these scriptures over and over again, and the Lord reveals more and more His truth of who He is, His presence, and we grow God's presence. And it's an amazing relationship that you have with God the Father. An amazing relationship you can have. You have the ability to have that relationship with God the Father because of Jesus Christ. Because of the gospel, we are able to go before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Think about the Old Testament where Moses in Israel had to build the tabernacle, and there was many different sections of it. And if you had not gone through the ritual process of being clean, of being reconciled to God the Father through the sacrifices, if you just walk right into the Holy of Holies, boom, you're dead. No joke. They didn't have the amazing privilege we have now with Christ taking away our sins, the Holy Spirit bringing us to life in our souls so that we have a direct relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where Paul is saying, I'm so astonished that you are falling away from this amazing gospel that has been revealed by God the Father, and you're already falling away to these chains. For the young Christians to turn away from that amazing relationship and put themselves back in bondage to the law, putting themselves in the four chains. Because the Judaizers say, no, you have to be circumcised. You have to do X, Y, Z on top of believing in Jesus. Paul's saying, no, guys, don't do it. Look at the truth that was already revealed to you. And Paul gives a stern warning to anyone who tries to pervert the gospel of Christ. Probably some of the strongest language in the New Testament. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. That's strong words. And as someone like me, that tells me I have a very, very important job to do to make sure that I am following God in order to teach you His revelation. Not my idea of what God is. Not my theology. The only way I can stand here is through God's word. A couple of verses back, he also says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel Huh, that's interesting. If someone were to see a vision of an angel, we'd probably be really astonished and probably dropping to our knees and praising God. We have this amazing sight of an angel, and okay, he must have authority to teach me the word of God. What happens if that angel or that spirit teaches you something contrary to what Scripture says? Paul tells us in Ephesians that there are forces of darkness in this world. So any revelation you receive, any teaching, must be tested against God's revelation, the Scriptures. Because there are many deceitful ways in this world, and we need to know the truth revealed by God. Not revealed by man, not someone's interpretation, but what does the Bible, what does Scripture, what does God say is true? Have you ever fallen? Jesus came in grace and mercy to take away our sins and to reconcile us with God the Father. Whoever believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord will be saved. Simple gospel message. We follow Christ, focus on him, abide in him. And abiding is being with him through prayer, scripture, meditation. We'll be able to walk through this world as he intended for us to do. He sends us out. The purpose of the church is on a mission to spread the gospel. So my prayer, my prayer for us is that we would be able to be so in fellowship and communion with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in his word, that we would know the truth, and when counterfeits come up, we'd be able to spot that counterfeit and say, let me tell you about the true God the Father. That's my prayer for us. May you pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, your amazing revelation to your children. The amazing word that has been studied so much, and yet you still reveal truth to us through it, through your word. I pray you continually be with us, guide us, and direct us through the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.